Hi everyone, I'm Ksenia.
And I'm Anna.
And you are listening to CareerZilla, a podcast where people from all over the world share their stories about career change.
If you always dreamed of having a new job or new career but was not quite sure where to start, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned to learn secret hacks and tricks about career transformations from our guests.
Every second and fourth Thursday of the month, our guests share with you their insights on how to kick off a new career.
And now let's start.
Hi everyone. Today we are very excited to host Anirudha Patankar, who is a director of photography and a filmmaker at Pocket Aces, based in Mumbai, India.
Anirudha has shot web series produced by Dice Media of Pocket Aces, including the Netflix series Little Things and YouTube shows such as What the Fox.
For his Netflix series Little Things Season 2, Anirudha has received IWM BAFTA Digital Award for Best Cinematography and Film Critics Guild nomination in 2019.
Could you please describe your current position and what your main responsibilities at Pocket Aces?
Hi, so my name is Anirudha Patankar, and right now I'm working as a cinematographer / filmmaker at Pocket Aces. So just to give you a bit of context, I think Pocket Aces is a digital media company. We have various channels online which produce a lot of content. Some of those brands are quite famous, called Filter Copy and Dice Media. I think what started 4 years ago as a very short video making platform has now expanded into, you know, like a big media powerhouse, which is producing international shows right now. So primarily my job there as a cinematographer is to shoot whatever content is being produced. At the beginning, it was very, very short videos, 2 to 3 minutes, that we were trying out, which was pretty much along the lines of, BuzzFeed and Scoop, what they used to do back in the day. Started with those funny videos. And then slowly, I think we sort of dived into different genres of content. So my primary role there is to, of course, like whatever content gets commissioned, I get, say, maybe staff for it, I go out and shoot that content.
Cool. But you have made a very significant career transition. First, you studied physics at the University of Mumbai. You have already obtained bachelor and master degrees. And only then you started to work as a content developer and cinematographer. Have you always been interested in photography and cinematography? Or was it some particular turning point in your life when you thought, yes, that's exactly what I would like to do?
Photography was always an interest, although I never looked at it as a career choice. When I was young, there were these film photography cameras which had like some limited amount of film roll in it. This Kodak film rolls, which had like some 37, 38 pictures at the max that you could take it. The analog ones, basically. And the family had this camera, and this was not like any individual cameras. So I had two sisters, so the camera would be divided, that there was a camera time that was divided. When I used to get the camera, I used to make sure that I think about a picture before taking it. So I think from childhood itself, that that quality versus quantity battle was in the head.
And why did you come up with an idea to study astronomy?
As I grew up, my parents are academics, and I had a keen interest in astronomy since I was a kid. So as I proceeded with my education, I decided to pursue it as a career. Along the way, I figured that physics is the most viable way to get to astrophysics. Along the way, I think in St. Xavier's, where there was a photography club, which sort of like sparked my interest in photography again. And I started doing a lot of photography on my own. By that time, I had a camera of my own, a digital camera. And I started going on my excursions around the city. So just to give you a little bit of geographical this thing, where I stay in Mumbai is the north end of the town. And St. Xavier's College comes in the bottom end of the town. So we're literally two ends apart. So the bottom end of the town is very beautiful, Gothic structures and really good architecture all around. So I had various subjects to look at, various subjects to click and explore a lot. So I could take my camera, and after the college was over, I used to just roam around in the streets of Bombay, just taking a lot of pictures. And the photography club, to a large extent, kept my that interest alive in my heart. After that, I still didn't pursue that as a career, but I started realizing that I'm not so bad at it.
And why you decided to not pursue a career in astrophysics?
When I was pursuing my master's, I realized that there is a very, very specific branch of astrophysics or astronomy that I'm extremely highly interested in. And that was so narrowed down that there were very few lines of career that would make me, that would allow me to pursue that particular part. Like, to be specific, in astrophysics, I was interested in stellar evolution, which is the study of evolution of stars, how our sun is made, what happens when it reaches the end of its time, and all those things. Now, there's that branch of physics is so narrowed down that in India, there were very few options which were pursuing that branch with a lot of excellence. And I also realized that I'm also developing a lot of interest in visual art. So all the things that you mentioned about the event organization and all that thing, I did that while I was doing my master's.
That's very interesting. How did you get the chance to develop these skills?
So there is a theater event here in Bombay called Thespo, which has been around for last 2 decades. It is a young theater movement, primarily for people who are under 25. And being a Mumbai-specific theater event, it had its publicity done in almost all the colleges that were possible, because they wanted to target the young crowd. So when I was in Xavier's, I had known about this festival. And when I saw some of my senior people in Xavier's who were organizers of the festival, and there was a photography exhibition that was mentioned, I sort of drew close to it, and like I went to see what the festival is about. There, I got to know a lot of things. And even though when I joined, there was no photography event that was happening that particular year, the organizers were friends of mine from the college, and they got me hooked into public relations, event organization. Then I did the magazine layout. So they had their own magazine. These things were like something that I did as a volunteer for the festival while I was pursuing the master's. As I was narrowing down my branch of physics that I want to pursue higher research in, I was also doing a lot of activities on the side. So that sort of like helped me have a strong foothold in visual arts or maybe an artistic side of me. It kept it alive while I was doing science.
That's very interesting. So you worked for this theater for 2 years?
I actually worked for another 2 years. So technically, I worked there for like some 4 years as a volunteer. And by the end of it, I was almost an organizer myself. Like I was so acquainted with the festival. It is probably considered one of the best theaters in the country. It is what the Bombay theater circuit is circling around.
How did you decide what to do next?
So while I was doing that, I came in contact with a lot of people who were from my college. And on one day, I saw a friend's Facebook profile where it said that he was pursuing cinematography from FTI, which is India's oldest film institute and one of the most prime institutes in the country. And that's when I realized that maybe there is a way for me to combine my visual arts into a profession that can be something that is, say, related to film. So films was always were always interesting. Like, I used to always try and watch good films as much as possible while growing up. And I never thought about getting into films voluntarily. I never thought about directing or what could be the camera work or any of these things when I was watching good films.
What was exactly the turning point when you decided, okay, I don't want to do astrophysics, but rather cinematography and photography?
While I was still pursuing the master's, I realized that I may not want to pursue that narrowed down line in the area of astrophysics, and I may want to do something else, which is more along cinematography, because I started understanding that this could be a line where I can explore my career. And I realized also one thing, that this is where probably I'll be more happy. I think that's the most key element, because the scene, when I studied in University of Mumbai, and with all due respect, I think the state of research in University of Mumbai is kind of slightly disappointing. I think it's not exactly encouraging as it should be. That sort of put me off more from my physics path. And then I started thinking about how cinematography can be an option. Then I started learning more about it, started finding out more information of what courses could be done, what things can be pursued, how I can actually shift my career from this to this. And at the end of the master's, I think I just went up to my parents and told them that I want to pursue cinematography. There is a small course where I can probably start off, because I realized that the other good courses were very expensive. So after pursuing master's, I wouldn't be able to take a lot of money from my parents and go away for another 3-4 years into a course which would be very extensive. So I tried to do a very short course, which was the blanket course that I spoke about. I think that was just like sort of an introduction to filmmaking through various aspects of it, which was cinematography, screenplay writing, visual effects. It even had an aspect of 3D painting and all such things. So they taught all these things in very short sections. I think in that one, I chose cinematography because I realized that my stronghold is in camera and like shooting rather than directing or writing at that moment.
Do you think that this course was extremely helpful for you to get this first job?
From my personal experience, I know that I'm more of learned on the job sort of a person, learned through experience, learned through R&D, and a lot of self-taught person. But I think it varies from person to person. I think for few people, it might be essential to have that knowledge to sort of like, so that can push them, okay, this is now something that I know and now I can build on it. But for some people, it might be that something that they can cultivate on their own. So it technically varies, but I would always say that having a certain knowledge always helps, no matter if you are someone who can learn on the job or someone who wants that pushing or wants that formal knowledge.
And how do you stay up to date now? Do you use some book, YouTube channel, courses?
So there are two approaches. This sort of connects me with my physics, where I had a theoretical part and I had a practical part, right? So for me, both were equally important. That's what I sort of like observed in my cinematography learnings as well, where I went on the internet, and internet is your best friend when it comes to even filmmaking. There is tons of material. I started literally from Wikipedia about filmmaking, about what kind of films were there, about what kind of equipment was existing. I started from the history of filmmaking. So it started literally from Wikipedia. And then as you, internet is one thing led to another. So it, technically, if you're looking at something, it's going to lead you to something that will be more deeper knowledge. So you will find a lot of blogs, a lot of pages, a lot of material which is online. For example, there is Roger Deakins, who is a celebrity cinematographer, and he has his own website which has a lot of knowledge free of cost. Like, he has put up a lot of setups of his own films which are like open to everyone to see what kind of lighting he would have done, what kind of thinking was there, what kind of visual approach he has taken. There are lots of cinematographers who talk to their viewers through these mediums, which help these young aspiring cinematographers understand their craft so that they can develop their own. Some of these things are my go-to tools. Were there is Matt Scott was a cinematographer who has a blog. He teaches a lot of his own setups and simplified with diagrams and final results, some behind the scenes pictures as well. When I was young, Shane Hurlbut, he's also a celebrated cinematographer. He has his own webpage and he had a lot of material there, which was free. Some of it is still free. I think he has now a Hurlbut, something called Hurlbut Academy, which is sort of a paid course, but some of it is like not very expensive, but at the same time, very valuable knowledge. And to get to know from a person who's actually done the thing is direct experience. Now, it again depends on how much you would want to go and take that paid knowledge. I feel that I may not need to probably know the first-hand technicals of it. Maybe I would just want to hear thinking behind it, and I can replicate the technicals. For some people, getting to the technical part is the crucial thing. So for them, that might be very important, because what happens in this sort of thing is that when you have a technical proficiency, you can go and build your creative proficiency. But if you don't have the technical proficiency, then you are entangled in that and you lose your vision somewhere along.
Would you say that your background in physics benefits your current cinematography career?
Did help, but I think even if I was studying something else, I'm the kind of a person who would get to the most fundamental principles of that particular vocation and would want to know all about it. Like I said, that's the kind of person I am. But yes, I think physics helped because I had a lot of technical concepts which were already clear to me. For example, electricity or optics. These are things that I had already learned back in my physics days.
When you worked on Netflix series Little Things, was this experience overall very different compared to your regular projects?
This project has been very close to heart and it's very interesting because it sort of put me on a global map. So what happened was when this project was in its first season, it was a very small YouTube show. And then we realized its popularity is quite high also because of the chemistry of the actors and the premise that and the writing was quite nice. So it's sort of skyrocketed to publicity, and then that's when we decided to make the season two. When we were shooting season two, it was still supposed to be a YouTube show. When I finished my shooting and I came back from the shoot, my producers told me that, you know, Netflix has shown interest and they would like to put this on their platform. And that's when I was quite exhilarated that this technically was not supposed to be a Netflix, but then sort of like became a Netflix because of its publicity, because of maybe Netflix policies, and also the way our producers pitched it. Now, when the season three was commissioned, that was supposed to be by Netflix. So this was not a surprise anymore that this is going to be a Netflix show. And that's what was the exciting part of it, because technically a lot of things became suddenly very superior. Right from the kind of cameras that we used to the processes that we had for everything. Everything just became state of the art. Not that we were not pushing for it previously, but now it became a mandate. So there was no reason why we would compromise on any of the technicals. And that was very exciting because when the budgets get increased, you get to play with a lot of things that you thought you would be able to in, say, 5 years from now, which sort of became very close. Within a year, I could shoot something that I was probably thinking it's still far away. That scale was very exciting to handle. There was pressure of, you know, a brand like Netflix being there. So that maintaining that standard, maintaining that quality was always a thing. So I went into it with a lot of prep. I researched all about it, and eventually I basically just managed to shoot it with all the quality checks that were supposed to be done.
Thank you. That was very interesting. Speaking already from professional achievements, let's talk a little bit about the future. What would you consider your professional goals and dreams? What would you like to achieve?
Primarily, my emphasis of shooting was always to not make a fuss about it. Like, if something can be achieved with minimal resources, just because someone has done it with higher resources, I shouldn't put the entire crew to fetch me those resources and then shoot it that way. What happens is that low resource shooting also leads to a lot of innovation. I think starting small helped me a lot because the budgets for all the videos that we did in the past were very low. So to keep your standards high, but to play with tools which were really low resources, that was an experiment and challenge in itself. And it posed as a challenge in almost everything that we did for the first 2-3 years. So that was basically pushing me to excel with minimal things. I think that's what I tried to do. And I think that's where I'm trying to still, where I sort of meet the balance of creativity versus resources. And that has become, in a way, my style. So for future, I would say that I'm very keen in shooting a feature film. My goal and my dream probably is to be a cinematographer who can shoot feature films very cinematically. And yes, I would want to handle scale of multiple lights, multiple studios and huge sets and all that. But at the same time, I would also want to keep it as simple as possible. So I want to simplify it because the feel of it is primarily something that does not lie in the technical. The feel of it is in how you do it, how you make your feel. My primary style of shooting is very evocative rather than technical. And I would want to stick to it. And I would want to make things, whatever I shoot, as cinematic as possible. And I want to probably, like, I don't know, I'm not saying that I want to make a statement out of it, but I want to show that things can be done with something far more simpler ways than the complicated ways that the industry has been doing. And maybe it's time to change, and that's what the innovative approaches are there for.
So you want to stay in the small production companies, to not to move to something so large as Hollywood, for example?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is ki if I want to shoot feature films tomorrow, I would still want to shoot it with as many minimal resources as possible. Like, suppose if there is a place that is to be shot, which is study room for someone, I think I would need as much resources to just enough to recreate that study room the way I want it. I wouldn't call for extra resources. So that's not sorry, relating to any company. It's just about how the industry can be changed if you try to show the results that can be as cinematic and as professional as they have been when they're being shot with multiple resources. Not to discredit any large shootings, not to disrespect any of the large scale shootings. I think it's still something that I really want to do. Like, I want to handle big, huge sets where there are multiple lights, there are multiple cameras, there is a huge crew, and I would want to be a part of that scale. But I also want to not lose my ground, because this is where I come from. This is where I come from, and this sort of is my identity. I want to maintain that key. I can do something like this with these many tools, whereas some other people take that many other tools. So the best can be achieved with minimalism, and I think that's what my goal is to do.
And talking about your professional identity, if a young person comes to you today and tell, look, Anirudha, I really would like to make it in cinematography, where to start?
I think it very much depends on the person. But if I were to generalize, I think I would start with read the most fundamental books on cinematography, understand what cinematography is first. But by all means, keep on shooting. Watch a lot of cinema, watch a lot of films, watch a lot of cinematic content. I think that's what has been my school. Like, films has been my primary source of education. It's okay if I don't shoot something for a couple of months, which has been the case right now. But if I watch enough films in this time, I think that still compensates for my whatever the learnings that I've missed by not shooting. I think each learning is important. Every shoot, be it very small or be it very big, every shoot has its own learnings. Take those learnings and just try to make yourself better from the last time. If you just make yourself better from the last time, I think that is more than enough. If you're content in what you're making, then I think that you will never try to go above and beyond. I think that's what's important, because this is something that I learned from my photography club back in Xavier's, that we were told when we were going out for the group photography excursions, I think, you know, you have a digital camera. There is a lot of quantity that you can click on that small card. Why don't you just click 60,000 pictures? Why don't you shortlist, say, 600 of them, then 6 of them, and then you pick out the 2 best pictures of those lot. Then you will realize where you really stand in terms of good pictures. Because that develops your creative eye. So that is the kind of thing that never be content into what you are producing. When you produce something, when you create something which is really, really amazing, just look at it and then move on and see how you can make it better or how you can achieve the next thing. I think that's what every field is about. I think it's not just restricted to cinematography. For a cinematographer, I think that's what my primary advice would be. Look at films, watch films, learn from them. There is a lot of learning that is to be there for them. When you watch a film for the first time, yeah, obviously enjoy it. Don't get into technicals. But watch it again for the technicals and that time start decoding it or breaking it, then you build on. That's how one pursues excellence.
What would be your favorite film in this regard? Which one taught you the most?
It's not really one film that I can pinpoint. I think there have been sets of films which are maybe directors who have had a lot of influence on me. Primarily a lot of Japanese, then some of French film as well, which had a lot of influence on. I think Paul Thomas Anderson is still a role model, I think. But like I said, there is not one film that can be pinpointed that this would be my education.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We've learned really a lot. For example, that volunteering can help you to find a new career path. We've also learned about the power of networking and that internet is your best friend. And probably the most important, that vision is far more important than equipment that you have.
Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I think this is the first of the kind that I've done, and I'm quite honored to be here.
Thank you for being with us.
If you are interested to learn more about career transition, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find links in the podcast description. There you can also find links to resources mentioned in the episode.
If you haven't mind some friends with exciting career transformation stories, please let us know. We're always looking for new guests.
Don't forget to hit a subscribe button and tell your friends about our podcast if you find it helpful.
Stay tuned!